The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives, and follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, in particular the Old Time Radio Superman Show, otrsuperman.com, from 2008 to 2018, and then for a few episodes in 2021, I went through every available circulating episode of Superman and went through it from start to finish. There are so many great adventures there, and you can check all of them out over at otrsuperman.com, and it's also available in whatever podcast store you use. Well, now let's go ahead and get into today's episode of Mr. Chameleon. Now, with the new episodes that have come into circulation, the fourth episode is actually the only one of the first 11 that's missing. So there was episode missing between last week's show and this week's. The original air date on this week's show is August the 18th, 1948, and the title is The Case of the Woman Who Sensed Murder.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself, appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force, where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the case of the woman who sensed murder. It is 9 o'clock at night, and there's a light burning in the office of the Commissioner of Police. He is sitting across the desk from Mr. Chameleon, the man of many disguises, the detective who has been the nemesis of so many criminals.
Well, here's the letter, Chameleon.
Yeah?
My dear Commissioner, I have thought long before writing this, but the time has come when, compelled by fear, I am forced to write. I am an old woman, but a sane one. And many things have occurred in this house which make me believe that some person in it has planned to murder me.
But go on, Commissioner.
I am writing to you, Mr. Commissioner, because my attorney, Mr. Huntington, is in Europe and I have no other place to turn. I have been reading about your Mr. Chameleon and I wondered if he could visit me. I knew his mother and remember him as a lad, and I'd feel rather safer in his hands than in those of an ordinary policeman. Signed, Helen Audrey. Feel safer in your hands, Chameleon, than in the hands of an ordinary policeman.
Well.
Commissioner, I think that a letter like this from Mrs. Audrey may have a very, very black background.
When are you going to see her?
As soon as I can get there. Mrs. Audrey is one of the richest women in New York. She has a tremendous amount of money. Too many people stand to benefit from her death. You get me a squad car and have Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold meet me downstairs at once.
That's the Audrey Mansion, Mr. Chameleon, and it's all lit up. Guess they're giving a party.
Well, there's only one car. Dave, look at the license. That's a doctor's car. Come on. Now, this looks like the doctor coming out. I beg your pardon. Are you the doctor?
I am Dr. Hammond, Mrs. Audrey's physician.
Then Mrs. Audrey is sick?
Mrs. Audrey is dead.
Dead? Dr. Hammond, I am Chameleon of Central Headquarters.
Yes, I've heard of you.
Tell me, Doctor, how did Mrs. Audrey die?
The symptoms are those of an overdose of heart medicine. But I am willing to give no opinion further than that they are the symptoms of an overdose.
Thank you, Doctor. I wondered if you could wait inside a moment. I may need to ask you some further questions.
Gladly, Mr. Chameleon. I'll be in the library.
Thank you. Dave.
Yes?
Not one word about the letter the commissioner got from Mrs. Audrey. When I talk to these people, I want their guard down.
Okay.
I smell murder. Dr. Hammond, how did Mrs. Audrey happen to take that overdose of medicine? Wasn't she warned that an overdose would be fatal?
I warned her repeatedly, Mr. Chameleon. I said only one tablet at a time. Oddly enough, when I just looked in the box, there was only one tablet missing. Yet she must have taken more.
Who was with Mrs. Audrey at the time of death?
Not a soul. Servants were out. Her two sons were out. Even her daughter-in-law, Stella Audrey, was not at home. She says that Bobby, that's her 12-year-old boy, wanted to see a movie.
It was Stella Audrey who discovered the body, wasn't it, Doctor?
Yes.
When can I question her?
Not till morning, I'm afraid, Mr. Chameleon. She's in a state of prostration.
Oh. Very well, but that is the deadline. I must question her then. You see, Mrs. Audrey, it seems very, very strange to me that your mother-in-law should have died here completely alone.
Strange? Oh, it was horrible. Simply horrible, Mr. Chameleon. I'll never forgive myself for going out last night. But I was positive that Joseph and Alfred were with her.
Those are her sons, I take it, the famous Audrey twins.
Yes, that's right.
If famous is the word for their cafe society antics.
Oh, I know, but Mr. Chameleon, in all fairness to them, their mother treated them like children.
What happens now? Do they inherit the Audrey fortune?
Why do you ask me that?
Because I want to know everything. Everything that you know.
It all goes to me and Bobby. My mother-in-law gave all her love to my husband, Mr. Chameleon, and then to my boy, her grandson.
Mrs. Audrey, could it be that your mother-in-law took this overdose of heart medicine purposely and dropped the curtain on her own life?
Oh, no. No, it must have been an accident. And she couldn't have been murdered.
Who was murdered? Sure, and what's going on here, Miss Teller?
Oh, Nanny.
And who might this be, and why is he bothering you?
Nanny, this is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective from Central Headquarters. And this is Nora Lowry, who's been with Mrs. Audrey for many, many years.
Except the one time she needed me, God rest her poor soul. How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
And I'm sorry I spoke so sharp. But how could she be murdered when no one was here? And she couldn't have taken an overdose of that medicine on purpose.
You think not, Miss Lara?
Oh, no. But poor soul, there was an odd thing about her, sir. She was scared to death of dying alone like she did. Isn't that so, Miss Stella?
Why, yes, that's true, Mr. Chameleon. Mrs. Audrey used to talk about it. It was a phobia, as if she had a premonition. Just like the stupid phobia I have about being cut with a knife.
Cut with a knife?
Childish, isn't it? When I was a little girl, I was badly cut one day while playing. Ever since that time, I've had a horror of a knife. I can't even pick one up.
Well, that's quite understandable. All right, Mrs. Audrey, thank you for your cooperation. And you too, Miss Lara.
Then I'll get on with the packing, shall I, Miss Stella?
Oh, yes, do that, Nanny.
Packing? Does that mean that you're going away, Mrs. Audrey?
After the funeral, Mr. Chameleon. My mother-in-law had a summer cottage at the beach club.
Oh.
Now, especially, I want to get Bobby away from this house. Why do you look at me so strangely?
I was just wondering whether it might not be better for you to stay in New York. Well, maybe not. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mrs. Audrey, I think I'll join Detective Sergeant Arnold and the nightclub twins. Or didn't you know that your brothers-in-law are known about town as the nightclub twins?
You to ask us such personal questions? Wasn't the shock of Mother's death bad enough without having to put up with a couple of policemen?
He means us, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, I gathered as much, Dave.
Mr. Chameleon.
Mr. Chameleon, is that who you are?
Yes, Mr. Joseph. Or are you Mr. Alfred?
I'm Joseph Audrey. But really, this is surprising. The famous chameleon working on a simple case like this.
Which resulted in your mother's death.
Poor mother, I
Stop it, Alfred. Mr. Chameleon, you're such a famous detective. I always pictured you as turning up in some impenetrable disguise and handling only big cases.
Well, this may be a big one. Suppose I told you that it was murder.
Then I'd say you were mad.
Mother wasn't murdered. A heart attack is death from natural causes.
Mr. Chameleon, whatever it is you're suspecting, I'd like to remind you of one important point. My brother and I are still quite penniless. Stella and Bobby inherited everything.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact, Detective Sergeant Arnold. However, I'm sure that Stella would be glad to take care of us. We expect to go with her and Bobby to the cottage, the beach club. Why not? Alfred and I are quite used to being parasites. We don't like it particularly, but we'll stand it if we have to.
We police have the idea that where murder is the issue, people have to stand a lot. I'll tell you one thing, Dave. Joseph Audrey meant it when he said they didn't enjoy being parasites. Those two want money badly.
And they're spending the summer under the same roof with Stella Audrey and her son. I don't trust those guys, Mr. Chameleon. But say, what about that heart medicine?
That interests me very much, Dave. There were 10 tablets in that box. Now there are 9. Yet Mrs. Audrey got an overdose. Where did the extra tablets come from?
And who gave them to her?
Yes, that's the point, Dave. Who? And that terrible fear that she had of dying alone. Stella Audrey with her fear of a knife. Why did she tell me that?
Too deep for me, Mr. Chameleon.
You know, the more I think of that summer cottage, the less I like it. Wait a minute, I have it. Where's Madeline Evans?
Oh, she's going on vacation.
How right you are. Nice long vacation at the beach club.
What?
A lady detective on a holiday. Such a beautiful detective. She can keep an eye on the Audreys.
And are you going up there too, Mr. Chameleon?
Well, now, let's see. I play tennis, I can swim, I can ride. You suppose that the beach club, at the urging of the police, would like to hire a sports instructor? A sports instructor named Michael O'Rourke.
Gee, Miss Evans, that was a wonderful shot.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. You like to play tennis, don't you?
I like to play with you. You're terrific.
Would I be speaking out of turn if I disagreed with the young man?
What?
Well, I've been standing here watching you. And if the young lady will forgive me, her backhand drive is very weak. She doesn't hold the racket properly.
What do you mean? She's perfect. Who are you, anyhow?
Well, my name is Michael O'Rourke, and I'm the new sports instructor.
Oh, how do you do? My name is Madeline Evans, and this is Bobby Audrey.
It's a pleasure, I'm sure. Certainly be a pleasure to teach a pretty girl like Miss Evans to hold her racket properly.
You leave her alone. She's all right as she is.
Oh, Bobby, I'm simply dying of thirst. Would you get me a glass of water?
I'd do anything for you, Miss Evans. And you leave her alone, Mr. O'Rourke.
Oh, I certainly will.
I see that you've made a conquest, Madeline.
Mr. Chameleon. When did you get here?
About 2 hours ago. Detective Sergeant Arnold will probably join us tomorrow. Right now, he's checking up on old Mrs. Audrey's will and also investigating the private lives of the sons, Joseph and Alfred Audrey.
Oh, those creatures. You're right about Bobby, Mr. Chameleon. I have made a conquest.
How is Bobby's mother, Stella Audrey?
Oh, not so good.
Oh.
She looks like a ghost. She takes long walks all alone down by the sand dunes. Nanny, who keeps house for them, you've met Nanny.
Oh, yes. It's for Nanny's benefit that I've worked hard on my brogue.
Well, Nanny tells me she's worried sick. But then...
Miss Evans, sure you don't grip the racket correctly at all.
What?
Somebody's coming.
Now, the proper way to hold it...
Miss Evans!
Why, it's Nanny.
Where's Master Bobby? I've got to find him. He mustn't come near the cottage, not till the ambulance has taken her away.
The ambulance?
What do you mean?
They found his mother 2 miles down the beach. She went on one of her walks and someone robbed her. They took her rings and they stabbed her. They're afraid she won't live through the night.
Stabbed with a knife.
Thank you.
I wonder how Mrs. Ardrey's getting along, Mr. Chameleon.
The O'Rourke, if you please. Mike to you, Madeline. Watch that.
Oh, on a beautiful night like this, death seems very remote.
No, not to Stella Ardrey, who was stabbed with a knife. And death may be approaching us right now. Here comes one of the twins.
Well, that's Joseph. Mr. Ardrey! Mr. Ardrey!
Yes, Miss Evans?
How is your sister-in-law?
Stella is dead.
Oh, no.
We're taking her body back to New York tomorrow.
And what becomes of the little lad?
If you're referring to my nephew, my brother and I are his guardians now. We're taking him back to New York with us, of course. Good night.
Good night.
Mr. Chameleon, did you hear what he said? Those two men are Bobby's guardians.
Yes, Madeline, I heard, and I heard something else. Mrs. Ardrey is dead, stabbed. Like her mother-in-law, she died in the way that she feared most. Now, doesn't that strike you as very odd indeed? And, Madeline, doesn't it tell you something about the killer?
Mr. Chameleon and the Case of the Woman Who Sensed Murder continues in just a moment. Whenever you wake up in the morning with an ordinary headache and are afraid you're in for a bad day, take two Bayer aspirin tablets with a full glass of water the moment you get up, and chances are, before you finish dressing, your headache will be gone. You'll feel perfectly normal. Your day will be saved. Thousands of normal people use Bayer aspirin in this way and get reliable, fast-acting relief. That's because Bayer aspirin starts to disintegrate within 2 seconds after you take it, hence is ready to go to work almost instantly. To see Bayer aspirin's astonishing 2-second disintegrating action, drop one of these tablets in a glass of water. Before it reaches the bottom of the glass, it will start to disintegrate. It does the same in your stomach, and that's why Bayer aspirin gives such fast relief. Remember, besides quick relief, Bayer aspirin also means reliable relief. Bayer aspirin has been used without ill effect by millions of normal people. So for fast, dependable relief from headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain, always ask for Bayer aspirin by its full name, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the case of the woman who sensed murder. It is the following morning, and along a wooded bridle path come two horsemen, Mr. Chameleon and Detective Sergeant Arnold. Both men look extremely grave, and Mr. Chameleon is saying,
"So after Bobby's death, Joseph and Alfred Ardrey would at last inherit the Ardrey fortune."
"What do you mean after, Mr. Chameleon? I mean O'Rourke. You'd think the boy was already dead."
"I'm afraid it's only a matter of time. That was an interesting will, Dave. Very interesting. Makes me all the more interested in those heart tablets that killed old Mrs. Ardrey."
"But where's the guy that killed the old lady?"
"Not a trace yet. See, that's the trouble. It may take time to break this case, and we haven't got time. Bobby hasn't got time. I wonder what he's afraid of."
"Oh, the kid?"
"Yes. You see, his grandmother, remember, was afraid of dying alone. That's how she died. Stella, his mother, had a dread of being cut. She was stabbed to death. There's a queer, sadistic pattern there, Dave. I know that boy may be murdered, but I don't know by whom and I don't know how."
"Mr. Chameleon, there he is, coming out of the paddock."
"Oh, probably waiting for Madeline. You better beat it, Dave."
"Okay, see you later."
"No."
"Well, hello there, young fella. You waiting for Madeline?"
"I'm waiting for Miss Evans. We're going riding together."
"You'd like to ride, don't you?"
"You're not going along, are you, Mr. O'Rourke? Miss Evans told me that just her and me, that we could spend the day together."
"Oh, I wouldn't come near the two of you. But you know, Bobby, you really have the makings of an all-round sportsman. You ride, you play tennis. Are you scared of guns?"
"Oh, me? No."
"Ah. Did you ever go up in an airplane?"
"Sure, often. We flew to California last year."
"Is that a fact now? Well, Bobby, you're a better man than I am. I wouldn't go up in a plane on a bit. I'm just a coward, that's all."
"You are?"
"Oh, sure. All of us are about something. With me, it's flying. I'm not ashamed to admit it."
"Mr. O'Rourke, if I tell you something, will you promise not to tell Miss Evans? My Uncle Alfred says I'm a coward, too. And I am."
"Oh, I don't believe that."
"Yes, I am. Whenever I go in swimming, I stay close to the shore. I don't even swim to the raft because I'm scared of the water. Only I'm going to get over it.
Well, Bobby...
Yes, I am, Mr. O'Rourke. I'm going to make myself get over it. Someday soon, I'm going to make myself go out in the water beyond my depth.
So there we are, Madeline. Now, at least I know the method of the killing. When? Early in the morning, no doubt, when there's no lifeguard on the beach.
But, Mr. Chameleon, how awful. Because a child wants to prove he isn't a coward, he's going to be murdered.
We can stop it, Mr. Chameleon. We can patrol the beach.
Yes, but the murderer won't come to the beach with Bobby. They'll watch. Yes, but from a distance. See, the trouble is, if we save Bobby's life, they'll try again later on. When the boy's been taken beyond our reach.
But you've got to save his life.
We can't let him drown.
No, no, Dave, but appearances can be very deceiving. Now look at me. Heavy tan, reddish hair, plus an Irish brogue, and I am Michael O'Rourke. Only I'm not, you see?
But, Mr. Chameleon, what the heck has that got to do with the kid drowning? I don't get it.
Well, you will, Dave, you will. Meet me at the beach at 6 a.m. You better be prepared to get good and wet.
For Pete's sake, Mr. Chameleon, how long do we have to stay here in the water?
Keep your head down, Dave. I don't want anyone to see us from the shore.
We've been hanging onto this raft for hours.
Oh, 15 minutes at most. Bobby's coming. He'll come soon.
We should have patrolled the beach.
It wouldn't do it, Dave. They must think that the child is dead. Oh, look, there he is.
Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's alone. I thought he would be.
Do you think they're watching him?
Well, I'm sure of it. Yes, he's coming into the water now. Starting to swim toward the raft.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Chameleon, what sort of a person is it who can stand by and watch while a child drowns?
That question will soon be answered.
He's slowing down. It's too far for him all the way out to this raft.
Keep out of sight, Dave. I'll bring him round to the back of the raft.
But that's a long way for you to swim underwater, isn't it?
I'll make it. I've got to.
Help! Help!
There he goes. He's calling for help.
Okay. Dave, keep out of sight as if your life depended on it. It's Michael O'Rourke, Nanny. The love of your life.
Mr. O'Rourke, this is no time for joking. We're going back to New York to bury Mrs. Archie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ah, that was stupid of me. Let me come in for a moment, won't you? I'd like to say goodbye to the little lad.
Well, Master Alfred and Master Joseph are having their breakfast.
Oh, let them. I don't mind.
Well, all right. Come on in. I'll go and fetch Master Bobby.
Who's that, Nanny?
It's Mr. O'Rourke, the sports instructor, Master Alfred. I'll be right back.
Fine, fine, Nanny. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
What do you want?
Alfred, there's no need for you to be rude just because other people have no manners.
I came to say goodbye.
To whom?
To Bobby.
And why the devil are you so interested in Bobby?
Master Bobby isn't here, Mr. O'Rourke. His room's empty.
What? But where is he?
I don't know, Master Joseph. I can't imagine.
Would he by any chance have gone to the beach for a swim?
Not Bobby. He'd be scared to death to go in at this hour.
Oh, wait now. His bathing suit always hung in that closet. I'll just take a look.
What made you think Bobby might have gone swimming, Mr. O'Rourke?
Oh, no reason.
He's gone. His bathing suit's gone.
You're crazy, Nanny. He couldn't have gone for a swim.
Well, he must have. Oh, heaven help us. What has the poor child done? There's no lifeguard there at this hour, Mr. O'Rourke, and he could hardly swim at all.
Well, then why did you urge him to try to swim to the raft?
What?
Why did you tell him that he mustn't be a coward? That Miss Evans wouldn't like him if she knew he was a coward?
What the devil are you talking about?
Are you crazy, too?
Oh, the man must be touched in the head. I never told Bobby he should swim to the raft.
Yes, you did, Nanny. You told me just this morning.
Who said that? Who said that?
It was Bobby. He's here.
He can't be. I imagined I heard his voice.
You told me it would be good for me to swim to the raft, Nanny. Just like you told Mother to walk to that lonesome place down the beach.
Stop it, I won't listen.
Look, Nanny, there in the doorway.
Bobby, all dripping wet. It's his ghost come to plague me. He's dead. I watched him die.
Yes, but he didn't die, Nanny. Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold and I saved him.
Oh, you couldn't have. I didn't see you. Well, why should I do a thing like that to darling little Bobby?
Well, I'll tell you why. Under the terms of old Mrs. Audrey's will, you receive $5,000 a year. Unless you outlive both Stella and Bobby. In that event, your yearly income is $25,000 a year.
How do you know this?
Detective Sergeant Arnold brought me a transcript of the will.
But I don't understand. What's happened to your brogue? Who are you?
I'm Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters. And I arrest you, Nanny, for the murders of Mrs. Audrey and her daughter-in-law, Stella Audrey.
No, I didn't do it.
Well, here is the proof. Dave, come in, please.
Here I am, Mr. Chameleon.
Dave, that handbag that Nanny never lets out of her sight. Get that for me.
No, you can't have it.
Give it to me. Yes. Here are the rest of the tablets of death. Nanny, for months you stole them one at a time from old Mrs. Audrey, and then you murdered her with an overdose.
Mr. Chameleon, you're a wicked man. I loved Mrs. Audrey. If she were here, she'd tell you I loved her.
Very touching, Nanny. But it won't go. See, first Mrs. Audrey wrote the commissioner of police that she thought her life was in danger. And then we found this note. A little safe even you didn't know she had, Nanny. And it ends this way. And should I be killed, the person I suspect is Nora Lowry.
You've made it all up.
My motto, you know, is the innocent must be protected, the guilty must be punished. And you come in on the last sentence. Dave, you bring in the state's witness, please.
Okay. Come in, Mr. Smithers.
Him!
Mr. Smithers, do you identify this woman as the one who purchased from you this knife that killed Stella Audrey?
I do. I identify her, sir. And I've already identified the knife.
Oh, it's all against me. Mr. Alfred, Mr. Joseph, help me.
Leave us out of this.
You murderess. I was always afraid of you.
But I did it all for you. I killed them both for you.
No, you didn't. You did it for yourself. Come along, Nanny. We're going.
Now that you've settled this case, Chameleon, what's going to happen to the boy, Bobby?
Well, he's going out west to live with his mother's sister, Commissioner. I understand she's very fond of him. And, if you please, he's being personally escorted there. Madeline, you come in here, please.
Yes, Mr. Chameleon, I just stopped in to say goodbye.
Goodbye?
Madeline is using the rest of her vacation, Commissioner, to see that Bobby reaches his destination safely.
Well, that's very kind of you, Miss Evans.
Not at all, Commissioner. I expect to enjoy the trip.
Yes, and she will. You know, this girl is an expert at making conquests, and a woman doesn't have to be a detective to know that a train is a perfect setting for conquests.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. Here's something it will pay you to keep in mind whenever you're suffering from an ordinary headache and want really fast relief. Because genuine Bayer aspirin starts disintegrating in your stomach within 2 seconds after you take it, it quickly relieves the pain. Actually, this remarkable 2-second disintegrating action means that Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly. And that's important, for when you're suffering, you want fast relief, very fast relief. And you also want relief you can depend upon. And here again, that means Bayer aspirin. For of all pain relievers, none can match Bayer aspirin's record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So when you buy, do as millions do, ask for genuine Bayer aspirin. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at the same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Case of His Brother's Murderer. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Balmer from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
New Lion's toothpaste does what no other toothpaste can. Thousands of laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth reveal that New Lion's toothpaste actually gets teeth 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands, brighter by far, in fact, than any toothpaste on the market. Remember, it's not just another toothpaste, not just another old toothpaste with an added ingredient. Lion's toothpaste is utterly new, radically different. It cleans without soap, polishes without chalk. Lion's toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama will be heard in another performance next Wednesday night at this time.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, I thought the story had a really good hook. There were a lot of questions up front, and I think Mr. Chameleon covered them. And I also liked how he was able to find out what the boy's greatest fear was. As is often the case with Mr. Chameleon, a lot of the evidence used to accuse the murderer wasn't discussed. I think the main thing that I remember being discussed was that the will was odd. But at least they alluded to the will. I would say that I can at least understand some of the evidence being stuff that we hadn't heard before to kind of build like an actual case. Because oftentimes in detective programs, they will use evidence that we've all heard. But the problem is, you know, in terms of realism, the evidence that they are able to find is not going to convict somebody in court. So I would be okay with Mr. Chameleon having, you know, just kind of adding on evidence to really, you know, make the case watertight. Although that said, with all of the evidence that he had on the side in this case, it really seems to me like there was no real good reason to risk the boy's life in trapping the murderer. I think with the will, and I have no idea why this provision was in the will, but we'll just allow for rich people being eccentric. And the note she left behind naming the murderer as someone they suspect. It seems like you've got grounds enough for some thorough questioning and a search warrant, in which case you would have found evidence of the hoarded pills and all the stuff she hung on to for reasons. But what do I know? My name's not Chameleon. Now it is time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Alana, Patreon supporter since September 2015, currently supporting the podcast at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support, Alana. And that will actually do it for today. If you are enjoying this podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Mr. Chameleon, and join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X, where...
Hello?
Hello, Ken.
That's right, who's that?
Bill Thompson.
Bill, good to hear from you. When did you get back from Korea? How did you know I was in San Francisco?
That's not important now, Ken.
Oh? What is?
I'm in a mess, and I don't know what to do. Can you get over to my house right away?
Sure. But what's the trouble, Bill?
I'm right up to my neck in the filthiest game that's ever been played. It's a job for you and the Bureau. The dirtiest racket...
I hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.